Today's biggest stories, tomorrow's newsmakers in the capital city. Your host is Michael Cohen for the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Over 20 degrees cooler tonight than yesterday at this time. 70, light rain out there. Kind of a nice evening here in Lansing. Thank you for joining us. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Andre Holgate. On today's program, a new poll showing that President Obama and Mitt Romney are neck and neck in Michigan. Could be one of the first times, well, the first time since George H.W. Bush that a Republican presidential candidate might win Michigan. I'll ask the man behind the newly released survey what the chances are of that happening. And she spent 18 years in a yoga cult before she was finally able to escape. These isolated yoga retreats are now becoming a trend in the U.S. I'll ask a former yogic nun about how she got involved in the group and how she got out. But first, it looks like the State House and Senate are unable to agree at least on one key issue, and at least just for the moment. And that issue is what to do with the public school employee pension system. Both bodies coming up with very different steps to try to address the over $22 billion unfunded liability. To talk about what Michigan teachers think about the stalemate, I'm joined by Steve Cook. He's the president of the Michigan Education Association, the state's largest teachers union. Steve, thank you for joining us on WILS.
Michael, it's good to be back.
Tell me, how many members are currently represented by the MEA?
Well, right now we've got about 152,000 members across the state from Detroit all the way to the Keweenaw Peninsula.
So let me ask you, between the Senate bill, which is going for this full contribution system, and the House legislation to keep new teachers in a hybrid system, would you say that you are now backing the House's approach?
No. We don't like either one of them. Right now, it looks as though the situation in the Senate is there. Republicans are having trouble coming up with the votes. The House package is, I think, a little bit more responsible in terms of how it wants to treat defined contribution plans, because I think the House has finally bought into what we've been saying for 20 years, and that is the state simply cannot afford to have a defined benefit plan and address the liabilities that implies, and also create and fund a defined contribution plan all at the same time. Any numbers that have ever been run on this show that it's not actuarially sound. And I think the state's beginning to understand that now. We've had the hybrid plan here for a couple of years, and it's costing the state money.
What would you say is the solution from the MEA's perspective to this obviously very complicated and overwhelming financial issue we're in?
Well, I think the first thing I think the state needs to understand, you know, they've thrown around the large number. I've heard anywhere between $45 billion to even more than that in terms of the outstanding liabilities. I think the first thing the state needs to understand is that is not a debt that is due tomorrow morning. That is something that fluctuates every year with stock market performance, the actuarial performance of the members there, how long do they live, that sort of thing, how much do they earn, what's their pension likely to be. That number fluctuates on a yearly basis, but that's really a 50-60-year obligation that the state has to the defined benefit members that are in the plan. And we've talked to a lot of the legislators that just can't kind of wrap their minds around that. They see a $45 billion liability and think that that's something they have to pay by the end of the fiscal year. And that's just not the way pension plans work.
But don't you think the likelihood is that number will go up? I mean, we're going to see retirees living longer. Ultimately, when it comes to the economy coming back, it's hard to say if and when it does and if it will be a stable recovery.
Well, it's likely to go up, but fortunately, when you have actuaries that determine what those liabilities and costs are going to be, they calculate for that because they know life expectancy is of course increasing. So the costs are likely to go up, but more likely under the way this plan has been managed by the state, they're likely to increase much higher and faster than they should be. The first problem they've got is they're trying to fund two different plans at the same time. And we've known for 20 years that they can't afford to do that. Actuaries looking at it know they can't afford to do that. State treasurer, who is treasurer under Granholm, has looked at it and said you can't afford to do this. We even think Snyder understands now at this point you can't afford to do this, which is why on the Senate side you've got a handful of folks that still believe, more ideologically than financially based, that there should be a defined contribution plan in here somewhere, even though they know they can't afford to pay for it. The real fix for this would have been 20 years ago. Of course, sure. You can't go back in time and fix any of this, but they have never really met their financial obligations under this plan. It's never been fully funded since the first year of the Engler administration.
It's a good point. Certainly, you cannot go back in time. You know, the Pew Center looked at the issue we're facing. We're not the only ones. We're one of 34 states that the Pew Center says are not maintaining funding levels that are appropriate for long-term obligations. Now, they say most of the states are trying to address this funding gap through either cutting benefits for future employees or requiring workers to pay more for their own money into retirement funds. Now, tell me, is there any other reasonable way to approach the problem now other than either of these two roads, cutting the benefits or having workers just pay more into the system?
Well, I think the first thing the state has to do is take a deep breath. They've been in a rush to suddenly fix this, and we think it's almost more of a manufactured emergency than anything else. But you're right, referring back to the Pew study, and they basically said the states have failed to fund their obligations, which has caused this. Mm-hmm. The big difference here, though, is what you have are you have state or governmental pension plans, and then you've got the private pension plans like MEA has. We would never, we would have been taken over by the IRS 20 years ago if we ran our plan like the state runs theirs. The state governmental pension plans have a great deal more authority, but it would be nice if we could get the state to begin to fund and look at the mechanics of their plan as if it were a private defined benefit pension plan and try to meet some of the IRS rules that apply to our plan and apply those to the state plan. Now, it would require additional money being put in. But one thing I would tell you is that the members of the Michigan Education Association have been paying in to the pension plan 4% of our income all the way back in beginning in 1984. So we were doing it back when it wasn't cool. You know, we started doing that a long time ago, understanding that at that point there was a commitment by the Blanchard administration to fund the plan. He managed to do that by the time he left office, but again, that didn't last very long.
Things changed. I'm talking to Steve Cook, president of the Michigan Education Association. Now, Steve, you say this is kind of a time to maybe take a breather, but Republicans point to the fact that Michigan school districts are now putting 27% of employee compensation into the pension fund. That number is expected to go up. Every district is now expecting to see those costs climbing up. How do you see that impacting K-12 education in Michigan, and can we really allow this kind of enormous cost on the districts?
Well, one of the huge drivers of that increase in that cost are what we refer to as stranded costs. In a defined benefit pension plan, one of the things that you rely on are, it's a little like Social Security, a number of people paying into the plan to make it solvent. And then, of course, you've got the beneficiaries on the other end. What we've seen over the last 4 or 5 years is we've seen a number of people accrue liabilities under the defined benefit plan, and then suddenly they're pulled out of the system. And they're pulled out of the system because of privatization. They're pulled out of the system because of charter schools. Every teacher that's pulled out of the system and every bus driver that's privatized leaves a liability in the defined benefit plan, a benefit that they are entitled to, but now they're no longer in the system. They may be driving a bus for a private company. They may be teaching at a charter school that is no longer part of MIPSRS. They're no longer paying into the system. So the system is left holding the bag, and that's for tens of thousands of teachers and support staff across the country. They just left the liabilities there, and now they're working somewhere else. That's one of the things that has really hurt this defined benefit plan on top of. Of course, you have to look at what happened in 2002. You have to look at the recession in 2008. All impacted.
What about the long-term prospects? Republicans are making it fairly clear that the end game is a defined contribution plan. They view the any kind of a defined benefit program as unsustainable. Is the MEA on some level anticipating this long-term strategy and accepting that it could become a reality for incoming teachers?
Well, I don't know if we're anticipating it. They've talked about it. We're looking at the same numbers they're looking at, and the bottom line is they can't afford it. If they go to strictly a defined contribution plan for new hires coming into the system, that's going to cost the state, the last number I looked at was an additional $100 million a year to fund that, and also you've got the remaining liabilities under the defined benefit plan, and the state simply cannot afford to pay for both. Now, if the state was flush with money and could buy its way out of the defined benefit plan, that might be one thing, but the state has never been there. It would require billions of dollars to do that.
Tell me, how much input is the MEA having on the debate on this issue right now, at the Capitol? Are you given access to Republican lawmakers? Are they listening to your thoughts and concerns on the issue?
Not necessarily. I think what they're in a position now is they're listening more, I think, and this is pure conjecture on my part, not being a lobbyist, but I do hear from my lobbyist on a daily basis. They're hearing more from their Republican counterparts in the House. I think they're hearing more from the governor's office that is basically laying out the proposition that we can't afford the two systems. Now, they won't go as far as to say MEA was right, but they're basically laying out the numbers and saying, look, we can't afford to do this right now. At some point, if we have more cash, we might be able to give it a shot, but we just can't do it. What you have on the Senate side is the ideological drive that I don't care how much it costs, I don't care how much money we have to throw at it, we need to have a defined benefit or a defined contribution plan. They just can't afford it right now.
In this election year, the House elections, how prominent and how aggressive is the MEA going to be in pushing for Democratic candidates?
We determined very early in this school year, 2011-2012, that the top priority of the Michigan Education Association was to turn the House Democratic. And that's simply in light of the attacks beginning back in March with the $1 billion cut to education, the $3.8 billion tax cut with no accountability to business, and it was followed by gutting teacher tenure and all that that implies. And it's literally been about every 35, 40 days, it's been another hit. All the way up to their most recent example was eliminating dues deduction under the fallacy that it costs districts money to do it, and look how much we're saving. If the legislature is really interested in the school district spending and trying to give school districts back money, give us back the, start to address the $1 billion cut. They had $107 million left over from a tax cut. They gave everybody a 5 cent a day tax cut in their income tax. That money could have been used in education.
Well, we'll certainly see how things turn out. Steve, I want to have you on again to discuss the developments as they continue when it comes to the pension system. Steve Cook, president of the Michigan Education Association. Steve, thanks for joining us on WYLS.
Michael, thank you so much for having me.
Excellent. We'll be right back to talk about this new survey just came out showing that President Obama and Governor Mitt Romney are neck and neck. Could this be the year the Republicans win Michigan in the presidential race? We'll find out next. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WYLS.